It is Thursday, the 1st of November, and this is episode 140 of Digital Outbox. Hello, welcome to another episode. I am Chris, and I am joined as ever by Ian.
I am Ian. Good evening.
Should we just crack on?
No, there's one thing I must. Because after the podcast last week, it was like, oh, I really should sell my website. So, how's the racing? Where's the website? How can we find out more about you? We're going to do it up front this week.
If you want to find out all that I'm up to, this sounds like the end of the podcast.
It does.
It's academyracer.co.uk. is where you should go, and that kind of is my go-to place now to put anything that I'm up to racing wise.
And the car's built. You're 6 weeks away from probably having a little play around with it.
5 weeks probably before the government tell me I can actually drive it.
Tory,
which is a bit frustrating. And I swear that someone was dragging their feet somewhere, because I was told that I was going to be middle of November and now I'm end of. So anyway, grr. But
maybe
still,
somebody's listening to old episodes of the podcast.
Maybe. Maybe Google have been listening. No, that doesn't work. Never mind. But that Google have been making lots of announcements. Been a bit windy over there, so they haven't done big. Haven't had big. What do you call them?
Keynote.
That's the one. Tonight is going to go beautifully well.
I've not only are we both tired, but I've kind of thrown you by going in reverse order. We should really have done picks. Yeah.
Let's just go from the bottom up. No keynote, but they did release their Nexus Suite, I think we'll call it, because they've effectively three devices. We've had the Nexus 4, which is their new phone. The Nexus 7 has been updated, so their tablet's been updated. And they've also released their Nexus 10, or announced it at least. Let's start with the 7. So that's something we already knew about. Let's go back to that. So what have they done to the Nexus 7?
They have dropped the 8GB version. They have dropped the price to 16GB, which were previously, so I'm just going to stick to UK prices, but that was previously 199, yep. That's now 159. And they've now introduced a 32GB for 199, and also a 32GB plus mobile. I'm sure they need to do something with their names.
They're not very good at names.
And this is basically it's got 3G support, and that comes in at 239.
These are very good pricing. I think, again, we'll probably cover pricing or come onto pricing a bit more, but their pricing's good. Very, very competitive.
It's fantastic. And I'd spoke to you before and said one of the chaps at work had picked up a 7 and I loved it. And it was like, it worked. You know, see when they did the demo on it, it was great. And there's another guy that I work with and he's got one and he's loving it. And I'll soon have one.
Ah, so you're going to get, you're going the 7 route.
And the reason I'm going the 7 route is I'm just starting to really like the look of Android. And it's a bit like, remember last week you said, you know, we shouldn't really talk about Windows because none of us really use it, you know, and I do at work. But Android, for the last sort of, you know, 5 years it's been out, I've not used one in anger.
You feel like you need to dip your toe in the Android pool.
I do. I really
come on in. The water's warm.
Oh dear.
Yeah. Oh dear.
I've not pressed buy yet. Things like that might put me off.
To be honest, yeah, I'm not doing a good job. To be honest, it's probably about now that we're starting to see a fruition of all the work that Android's been putting in to try and come up with a product and a product line and a set of products that actually work. So maybe your timing is probably perfect. Mine was a bit, I came in a bit too early, I think.
I just think
too early adopter.
I really liked some of the stuff they'd done in Jelly Bean. I just thought, you know, that Google Now, you know, looked a really good alternative to like what Siri was doing. I think some of the services, just some of the improvements they're making are really good. And I think, I mean, iOS has really lagged behind. I said it at the time, iOS 6, and even to a certain extent 5, it's really small updates, you know, small, safe, really safe updates. And we'll come on to that later on when we're talking Apple, yeah. But it's just,
We will, but then don't you also feel that a lot of what Google is doing is catch up as well in certain respects? Maybe refinement is a better way of doing it, because they come out with lots of these things quite early, but then Apple show that where you want to end up being, and then they kind of refine back to that point.
I think that's certainly true, but I mean, and maybe even things like the whole Project Butter, you know, that even though everybody up until now has said the performance was great, but then when this Project Butter was put in, people were saying, right, okay, now it's great. As if, they were accepting that there's always rough edges, yes, and it just wasn't as silky smooth as maybe iOS was. And I don't know, I just want to play with it myself. I just want to actually, you know...
play, make sure that it, is in there.
Yeah.
Right, so let's have a look at... So Nexus 10 is their new product, if you like, and this one has been built by Samsung. And is effectively it's a 10-inch tablet running Android 4.2, as all these devices are, and it's a hugely high resolution, beyond retina resolution, and apparently incredibly
beyond
good
retina.
Screen to look
get
at beyond the retina. And apparently it's very nice to use, and is due to its incredibly powerful graphics chip it's got in it as well. It screams along, apparently.
Absolutely. I'm probably kind of a bit of a sucker for The Verge right now. I do think they provide really good reviews, really good video reviews as well. So they were out.
Other than the overly hipster presenter that was on that video, I mean, there's hipster and there's, oh my God, you cock. But do a good review.
That's Josh Topolsky.
Okay.
And to be fair to him, he's looked like that for the last 5 years. So it's not like it's just he's
the
just
lead hipster. He's not, the hipster ringleader.
He's not reinvented himself at Christmas thinking, okay, Christ, I need to be a hipster now.
Time to be a geek.
I'm on the verge. You know, it's and I don't know, the video to me captured a few really good points. So the screen, as you said, fantastic looking. You know, I mean, number of pixels, 2560 by 1600. In a 10-inch screen is ridiculous.
That's just bonkers.
But yep. You know, I mean, that's as you said, out retinas the iPad, you know, by quite a margin. So it's really good. The actual the colours, the quality, the crispness, all fantastic, great viewing angles. The one thing I really liked was that, and they kind of dinged Google on it. They said plastic back, and Google was like, the guy behind it was like, well, I'm proud it's the plastic back because it's more lightweight and it's more grippy. You know, so yeah, he says, I can hold it with one hand, and certainly there seem to be a few reviews I've kind of picked up on this that it's actually, you know, tactile, is it feels very nice. They've got a great battery in it. They've got good cameras, you know, for tablets, even though you probably still look like a tube. Again, it comes with 4.2.
Some people do it, though. People do hold it there.
More and more. Like it's quite scary when you see you see people out and about with this. And it's like, watch the actual event. Did I stand in there with a screen in front of them? Because at least with a camera you can kind of look above it, but with a tablet it's like I can't really see much. Anyway, I just thought, you know, again, a really good looking product. We've not seen the reviews for it, so it's out, you know, like the sevens. This is all November 13th, I think.
That's ringing a bell. Yeah, November 13th. Yep.
And again, pricing is pretty keen. 319 for 16 gig, 389 for 32 gig. That's a damn good price.
That's, you know, they're bonkers prices, really. I mean, unbelievably cheap for such a high spec bit of kit, basically. So that's pretty much, that's
also
nearly
£100
cheaper.
It is, and it had a nice concept of like a case clipping on top and round it as well. So no 3G. So 3G is a bit of a deal breaker, but I think more and more folk are maybe going tethered route.
I haven't got a 3G iPad, and there's been very few occasions where I've wanted to, and the time I have wanted to get online without Wi-Fi, I've got my phone to do it. So if you're in the Google empire, then, you know, you'll be able to tether, basically. So that was the Nexus 10. We didn't say that it's got the ports that things like iPad don't come with. So
but ports are a bit skanky. I never really bothered mentioning ports.
No. So anyway, that has got ports, and also this new technology. In fact, we'll come on to that technology in a minute. Let's quickly cover the last product, which was the Nexus 4. So this is an LG built phone. So they've moved away from Samsung for this one, and LG have built their new effectively their Nexus phone. Again, pretty good specs. We got 4.7 screen, 1280768 display, powerful processing going on, 8 megapixel camera, so again ramping up the camera work, and I would say a very simple and straightforward design. Looks good.
And interestingly, both sides made of glass. I know, so Apple have maybe moved away from that, and the Nexus 4 has introduced it.
Yeah, so again, this is where I'm just start to feel our Android following along a little bit here. I mean, that's what you, who knows?
I don't know. I think they've made a choice during the design. I mean, certainly the back of it looked quite smart. It wasn't just a kind of, it looks like a bit of glass. They've got this kind of strange etched layered look that kind of sparkles and looks a bit holographic, a bit strange, okay. but a very nice looking phone.
Yeah. And again, they're so strong here on the pricing again.
Scary.
Unbelievably strong. So 279, 16 gigabyte.
And that's unlocked.
Yeah. And that's an unlocked price, which, I mean, that's almost like the price you have to pay for an iPhone up front, basically, with a 2-year contract. So pretty amazing. I don't know what the price is on a 2-year contract. No LTE, though, on this phone. So we're not going to get 4G over here.
No. And the reason they said for that was more there's no consistent standard. They just wanted to be just one phone that works everywhere. And for that, they've had to drop LTE.
And fair enough. They're keeping on with their NFC chips. Oh, we didn't mention that the Nexus 10 has got two NFC chips.
Yeah.
So,
so one and all these devices had failed. Let's put two on.
Yeah. Surely, if they haven't got the grip to one, they're one on the other. Anyway, all these devices come with Android 4.2, and it's got some good technology in there. So they've refined, well, they've got Miracast, which is...
just before you do Android 4.2, you've missed on. Also wireless charging. So it's got the induction charging Domi thing.
How very WebOS.
Exactly. And the only other thing... Oh, no, you're going on.
No, I was going to say, I never really... I think induction charging is not efficient. And in the world of times when energy efficiency is quite important, I don't think... I mean, I'm probably talking out of turn, but I'm pretty sure it's not that efficient. Certainly not as efficient as plugging it in.
No. And one other thing that you kind of hinted at. Well, no,
shut up, Chris.
No, it's just, I have nothing else to. I have nothing else to add to that excellently made point. The thing you just said at the start about LG instead of Samsung. I really keep saying Samsung now. The other thing, Google. To be fair to them, they bought Motorola, and I thought that. Remember at the time they said we'll still use key partners, and they've done it. You know, they keep on using lots of different people for these
almost
Nexus
like they're
phones.
Using everyone except for Motorola for everything, like to really trying hard to we're really not using Motorola. I
mean, right now if you work for Motorola you must think,
come on, we want our shares going up in price. So 4.2, Miracast is quite a new one, so it's a bit like it is you can share your screen with your TV basically, and hopefully this is going to be an industry standard rather than a proprietary format a la iPad,
and probably a bit cheaper to implement for, because I think AirPlay and it seems to cost quite a lot for manufacturers to to actually pay for.
Well, and so AirPlay generally works by having an iTV under your Apple TV under your, I shouldn't say ITV, an Apple TV under your, oh crikey, too many TVs in one sentence. Anyway, you get what I'm saying. And this is going to cost about the same money for a manufacturer to put and build into their, well, in fact, probably a bit cheaper than that to put into their thing. And you can buy a little box if you want to, if your TV doesn't support it.
Yes.
Oh God, that took a while to get out, didn't it? There we go.
I might cut that one.
So LG's already committed to putting them in, surprise surprise. I'm sure other manufacturers will follow along. Gesture typing keyboard, there's been lots of plugins for Android for these gesture swiped keyboards where you literally swipe your finger over the keys to type your words, but they seem to have nailed it again, judging by some quick hands-on people are saying they say it's kind of spooky how well it works. You don't even have to be accurate. It's good.
And I've never really used something like that. Always it sounds really alien to me, but then the people that I know that then tried it said, no, it actually works really well.
It does work because it's not far off. What, you know, instead of just lifting your finger, you keep dragging it.
Yep.
I have to say I had mixed time. I think I used swipe, which is the one they sort of say it's similar to, and that wasn't accurate enough for me. I kept making too many mistakes, so that kind of went back to just tapping away. So it'd be interesting to find out whether the new system actually does work. Panorama, they've gone one better than Apple on this one. They've put in place, you know, those old 3D flash applications you used to have online where you could go and investigate an area, view the hotspots and all those kind of things. Well, they're kind of doing a panorama version of that now. So you just take as many snaps as you want using the gyroscope. It kind of knows what angle it's looking at, and you can then display online or show and share on Google Plus. Is there trying to get people to Google Plus?
Please share. Please. It says
Google Plus is the most amazing bit of software that no one uses. Never mind. So that's there. So clever stuff. And I think anyone could build a displayer because it's only based around a big JPEG image and a bit of XML. So
yes,
you will see all these things elsewhere.
Yep.
People sharing it on, I'm sure, like you get WordPress plugins and all those kind of things. And a really good point, and one that I'm sure Apple will respond to, is having multi-user support for each individual device, which is a great idea. Microsoft's doing it as well. We'll come onto that in a bit, but I think we're going to have to see it, especially having, you know, kid areas of your devices so that, you know, you don't have to unlock your phone for them to actually use your applications and accidentally spend 1,600 quid on that app, whatever it was called.
And the thing that's quite funny is the amount of people that I know that are actually buying second, third, fourth iOS, whether it's minis, iPads or touches, fact, because people want their own.
I take it back. Apple have done it the right way because they're selling a whole new device per person. I'm sure only Apple can do that, though. But I think they eventually will come round to the idea of at least having a user account of some sort, at least a kids area like Microsoft have gone down the route of. They've added stuff to the lock screen. Now, the lock screen, for me, seemed like it was there just to stop, you know, you're using your phone when you're in the pocket. But they're trying to add more and more to it. And I'm wondering now whether it's getting a little bit too complicated.
I've got to be honest, when I watched the video, it confused me because it was like, yeah, there's a lock screen, but if you swipe you can go and do this, and it's like, but I want it locked.
Yeah, you swipe it here, you do that. Well, just go into your phone and have quick options. But so, and you know, if you use two fingers in a particular place you can get somewhere else, and it's like, how would you ever know that? This is where it's intuition and beyond, really, as in you would never find that out yourself. You have to know that, and because they're never going to include manuals, it's just a layer of complication above where it needs to be, really. So, yeah, it's nice to be able to, you know, open your camera up straight away, which seems like a sensible choice. But other than that, you know, meh. So they've got things. They had things like their sound discovery one. So they're saying if you're in a bar and you hear a tune you like, well, you can swipe to your sound discovery. But how far does this go? I don't know. Where does it end up? You have about a billion things on your lock screen.
It just seemed like it was almost like that they've got down this list of features to add, and this one's right at the bottom.
Yeah,
and we've added it in anyway. I don't know who really needs that.
It's like it's taking the three-click principle of websites to the ultimate degree, where you have to have then everything on your homepage, otherwise,
yeah,
you never get there. and their cards system, so they're looks like they're kind of developing it down the same route. I can't remember what Apple call their booking thing.
Oh, passcode.
Yeah, I'm really having trouble tonight with everything. Their cards are kind of doing the same thing. So they will investigate your emails and stuff like that, and pull out any flight times or booking confirmations or confirmations or tracking parcel emails you've had, and they will shove a card up whenever, you know, to track that parcel or to let you know that you should be at the airport already.
And I'm almost convinced I'm buying a Nexus just to try this Google Now, because when it came out, they kind of said it was partly passcode, partly Siri. You know, it intelligently will tell you things. You know, like it'll know you've got I'm going to Bristol on Monday, so it'll bring up the flight details on Monday. It won't tell me beforehand. It won't tell me after. It'll tell me when I need to see it. And I just like that idea of it's actually intelligently saying, here's things that I know you're going to need right now. I like it.
Oh, excuse me while I yawn. Right. Okay. I wasn't yawning at you, honest.
Yeah, thanks.
Google Play as well. So obviously we've talked a lot before about how infrastructure lives or dies based on its content, and Google have now released their Google Play infrastructure to Europe, and specifically we're going to get first dibs really in the UK. So their Google Play service is going to be here. So that's read the same as iTunes Match, basically. So you can store your music in the cloud. It will scan your content and have DRM-free copies or whatever up ready for you to stream across your devices. So you don't have to upload everything. You can store 20,000 songs, and it's all free, basically.
And that's the biggie. I mean, to do all that for free is like, you know, because...
I don't know how they got that past the content.
Because I guess I am about to get a renewal update from Apple soon for the iTunes Match service.
Now, this is an interesting question I have. So I went down the iTunes Match service. So a lot of my content now doesn't sit on my computer. If I go away from iTunes Match and want then to scan my content, how is that going to work?
So see when you say it's away from your computer, do you have it like physically on your computer at all, or is it all in the cloud?
Well, at one point it was on my computer, but a lot of my content, as we've discussed before, is now says it's cloud only and you can't click on it unless you're connected to the cloud, and mine keeps cocking up. So does that mean the content is no longer on my computer, and therefore what the hell do I do?
Just download it. Go into iTunes, select it all and download it. So when I first joined like iTunes Match, so yes, it does all the scanning and it uploaded, but then I was like, select all of my dubious quality, dubious sources, music, and I ripped it all at 128, honest, and I deleted it locally, and then hit download, and 50 gig later, I had it all local.
Yeah, that's gonna. I don't have the bandwidth to do that. Anyway, okay.
But you're no rush. You know what I mean? You can do it over a few nights.
Well, maybe that's the only way I'm going to be able to get it back.
And then upload it to Google for free.
All the backing, bouncing around. This is the problem with having loads of these different services. You do get locked in. That's why Apple wanted to get ahead of the curve on it, really. But anyway, so good. We're going to have that. They've also got some agreements with Warner.
Warner was the final studio. So I think they had the big three. So they've now got Warner. So that means when November 13th, when this comes to Europe, you'll be able to match the majority of your music a bit like you can with iTunes.
Good. We've got advanced. They've released their advanced voice search for iOS as well. Now I've not used it, so you better talk through this.
This was fantastic, and it was Tuesday night. It came out. And it was.
Is
just,
this a separate application, or is it?
No, it's a Google search app, so it's just a new version of it.
Yeah.
And I've added in voice search. And when you look at the video, it was kind of Siri-esque. You know, a little blue button appears instead of the silver Siri button, and I was a bit skeptical because Siri works, but then it struggles with accents and stuff like that. And boy, oh boy, does this slap Siri! You know, just like the speed of it is amazing. And it's just doing really clever stuff. You know, Siri, and I'm guessing this, okay? So don't quote me. I'm putting on my analyst hat right now. But when you use Siri, it's like you're pressing the button and it's saying, hello, how can I help you? And then you'll say, the example I did was, give me directions to Kelvin Grove Art Gallery. Now, Kelvin Grove Art Gallery is a big art gallery in Glasgow.
You know, and I virtually didn't understand you then, so
exactly.
Chances of Siri understanding.
But it's like
you.
The second most visited gallery in or visitor attraction in Scotland. So it's a big thing. Now, when I did that on iTunes, I didn't try and slow down, and you could. Sorry, when I did it in did I see iTunes? When I did it when I did it in Google Search, and you can see as I'm speaking, it's almost like doing the intelligent search. Now when you're in Google and you spell it wrong and it's saying you actually wanted this, it's doing the same with the voice search. So you can see it changing words that it's maybe got wrong. So I was trying to get Apple Share points at one point and it got Apple Share, but when I said price, it changed it to Share. And it's all happening really quickly. So I'm sitting at home. I did that. It finished. And almost instantaneously, it popped up the map. Gave me directions, and I'm like, that's fantastic. Swapped over to Siri. said the same thing, and it works differently. Siri captures all the audio, then sends it up, whereas it looks like Google's doing it live as you're speaking. So it sends it away, and then it comes back and says, we've found 15 art galleries in your area. And you're thinking, okay, but Kelvin Grove Art Gallery wasn't one of them. And there was 15 art galleries all around. I'm like, so I'm scrolling through a list now. And it's like, is it not finding it because of the maps? Is it not because it captured the word properly?
Right, so it knew what it was trying to find, but it hadn't couldn't find it for you.
And certainly on other tests, and even daft things like, you know, show me pictures of planes. You know, and it just did the search instantly and gave me the pictures. I'm so impressed. So impressed.
Substitution of planes there. That's the problem with iOS, though. You've got a great product and you can't. It's not going to be embedded into the system. Therefore, it doesn't have the system hooks.
And that's it can't go across platform.
It's disappointing. But that's just, that is the iPhone way, isn't it? So
iOS. And that's partly the other reason. I do feel, as I said, I do feel that Apple has stagnated on iOS and, you know, versions 5 and 6. And maybe that's because there's greater plans, you know, that we'll maybe talk about next. But I do want to try Android. I just think it's that whole combination of services is looking really strong.
Starting to.
Looking really strong. And again, I mean, I think you said a couple of years ago, you'll get bored at some point. I know you will. I'm not saying I'm bored, because I do love the iPhone.
It's almost 5. Like the 10 minutes later after buying the iPhone 5 and realizing that it's exactly the same as what it was before.
No.
Just an extended 10 minutes.
As Jasper confirmed the other night, it's at least 15 minutes before you start getting that feeling. No, I was just about to say, I mean, the iPhone 5, I do love. You know, design, speed, everything I love about it. I just think it's a great product.
It's a great product, and its predecessors were great as well, which is why it's not moved too far, because it's already great.
But design-wise, I'm happy with what Apple does. It's software-wise, I think they're starting to slip.
News from Apple.
Dun, dun, dun.
Johnny Ive's moving into iOS software as well as iOS, well, as a device design, which is an interesting move. As well as that, Scott Forstall's disappearing, who was in charge of iOS software. No particularly big announcements as far as why he's going, but there's lots of obviously rumors, as you always get. He's going to stay on as Tim Cook's advisor for up until the point Johnny Ive officially takes over.
Yeah, which I'm sure that means nobody else is going to get him for the next year. Apple will pay him, and he'll have nothing to do with the running of iOS or anything.
Gardening leave, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's almost, you get the feeling, and this is so speculative, but this is Tim Cook saying, you know, I am CEO, you didn't get the job, and you can bugger off if you do want the job.
I know this is really tenuous and really quite dull, and it's probably only me that thinks this. See, when I read Special Advisor, I thought of Doctor Who from 4 or 5 years ago, when the Master, you know, made the Doctor really old and he kept him in that little cage. That's where Scott Forstall's sitting right now, in that little cage. And every so often he's just going, yeah, yeah, look, no more skeuomorphic designs. And yeah. Maybe that's just me.
Dear. Probably is just
you. It is.
Someone else is leaving as well. Who's that?
Well, the best bit. So they did a big long letter about, you know, Scott Forstall's leaving. Thanks for all your great years of service. You've been fantastic.
1997. He was taken on.
He was seen as a bit of, you know, I think it was kind of Jobs, you know, Jobs like this kind of skeuomorphic design idea as well. And certainly, looking at all the rumors, Forstall was always seen as a bit of a kind of, he is the future Jobs of the company. So it is a big change, and seemingly the thing that kind of did for him was he would not accept maps was a big issue. Tim Cook wanted him to sign it off because he has spent the last 3 years putting that team and the service together, and he didn't see it as a particularly big issue when all the kind of kerfuffle was around. And I think that was the nail in the coffin. And also there's a whole host of posts coming out saying that he couldn't even sit in the same room as Johnny Ive.
What do you reckon? Well, probably because Johnny Ive's filling the room nowadays.
Oh.
I've got to get away from that. What was I saying? I don't even know. I reckon there was probably a vote of no confidence at some point and that failed, and therefore he had to go. I imagine that's probably what's happened. Another one of those boardroom
I also think in the design, situations. See to the 99.9% of the people that buy Apple products, they probably don't care about skeuomorphic and, you know, the look of Game Center and the look of the podcast app and the little leather things and tiered bits of paper. But see the kind of 0.1% that blog about it and care about it and kind of set the trends that are hating all that. I really hope quickly that you know, Johnny Ive does have a good impact on that stuff and we just see it disappear.
Has he got any previous on interface design? Interface design is very different from product design.
We need to be careful. He's actually, I really should go in and check out the actual announcement. It says he's in charge of the human interface guidelines kind of thing. It doesn't say guidelines, but it's HI he's in charge of. It's not user design and user interface. So I don't know if that's
gonna be
subtly different inside Apple.
The screen's going to be tilted to the right next time. Because that's how he sits, isn't it? So everything's going to be slightly skewed to the right.
You really don't like the man.
I think he does some amazing things.
So Scott
he talks in a way that annoys me.
I thought it was the fact that the grey t-shirts that he's actually filling quite well now. Yeah, there's a couple of important things, but getting away from slagging off the guy. Scott Forsell's out
in a fight.
Yeah, Scott Forsell's out, but they're not replacing him. I mean, basically they've split what he was responsible for amongst other people.
And they've combined iOS with OS X, which is an interesting and quite poignant move, I think, combining those two together. So they are joining at the hip.
Yep, and it's basically you get Tim Cook and Cock on top, and you've got and you've got four basically main guys beneath them. So Johnny Ive is looking after basically all aspects of design. Bob Mansfield is hardware. Eddie Q is services, which I think Apple are particularly poor at. But Eddie Q seems to end up owning them and making them more palatable. And then finally is Craig Federighi, who's now got OS X and iOS, which I don't know if that tells us what's going to happen soon with those services.
Undoubtedly, I think that makes perfect sense from what we've been seeing recently.
The guy that left, and this is the best bit, you know, out of all these paragraphs, in addition to Forstall, John Brewitt will also be leaving Apple.
Now, John Brewitt was Dixon's man, wasn't he?
He said. He didn't thank him for it. Didn't say he'd done a good job. Just said, by the way, this guy's off.
You do feel that he never really had a fighting chance, but also he did then go in and try and make cuts and swathing things.
That didn't
really sit well, did they?
But I do think one thing that's misreported, and maybe it's because there's people have got evidence that it happened. You know, maybe when Jobs was kicking around and it's an appointment that Cook had to make. But Brewitt only came in at the turn of the year, you know, so it was a Cook appointment. So people have seen this is Cook, you know, saying basically he's in charge. He's made one mistake already. Brewitt never looked like a good fit for Apple. You know, moving from Dixon's to Apple must have been one of the... I mean, the guy must have been like, yes, I'll join.
I only put a speculative CV in.
Exactly.
As a joke.
Yeah.
Anyway, Apple, they've announced their apology, or they've put their apology online. I say they put their apology online. They kind of put a sniping statement, as we knew they were going to put a sniping statement on their home. Well, a link to it from their homepage saying, we've got to say that they didn't copy us, even though loads of judges around the world said they did copy us. The people in the UK said they didn't. And even in the judge said it was the only reason he said they didn't copy this because they weren't cool enough. That pretty much sums it up. But we've had an update on that.
We have. So Apple put that up and Samsung complained. And
of course
judge...
they did, because I thought it was supposed to be a specific set of words that were on their homepage in size 14 font. I thought that was...
And technically it mentioned those words because seemingly the judgment didn't actually talk about what was wrapped around those words.
It was in
14 point whatever. And it was Arial, and it was on their homepage.
That's not how the UK courts work, though. You don't dick with a UK court judgment.
No.
Boys.
As Apple have found out, because Samsung complained and went, and the judge was like...
He's not done what he said.
Yeah, and the judge was like, we quite agree. You remove it within 24 hours, a new, more compliant version must then be posted. And also, as per the original agreement, you'll put it in newspapers, including T3, including The Times, including FT. The Apple's lawyer says, actually, we need 14 days to make a change to your website. And the guy was like, sod off.
If you're telling me that, the UK court said, no.
So, and also they said, we want Tim Cook here if you're going to take that line.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
So go on, dick us around.
Yeah. Who's the most, but yeah, you might be the biggest company in the world, but you're not dicking with us. Anyway, so we'll be interested to see what they come up with, I guess, tomorrow.
Exactly. They've been given, I think it's 48 hours. So we'll know by, you know, Saturday what they've done.
I wonder if they dick around again, I wonder what will happen. You could be in contempt then, and that's quite serious, isn't it? Right. Apple delays iTunes 11. So they said originally that we were going to have that by now. The new streamlined, sleeker iTunes, more integrated, more content focused. But nope, we're not going to get it, and we're probably not going to get it to the end of November now.
No, they said they need a little extra time to get it right, and bloody hell, it'll need more than November.
Do they need some time? Yeah. Windows Phone 8 has also had some good reviews. Bless. Basically, well, good reviews, but with irksome bits, and pretty much what we know, which is the underlying app store doesn't really, it's a bit echoey, bit of a big room with a couple of ornaments sat in there.
I think it's the fact that MS have actually, was part of the announcement, said we've written new Facebook, Twitter and Skype apps, and fair enough, they own Skype, but the fact that they're having to write their own Facebook and Twitter apps tells a story. And I know they've got they partly own Facebook, there's that small percentage, yes, at the bottom.
And again, there's a snub to Android in there, and they don't mention Android, you know, as a, you know,
No. A
partner or whatever. Another application, like, they've always gone strongly down this kind of lock screen route and having everything on your lock screen, but they're going further and further down that route. As I say, I don't really understand why the lock screen is becoming so important. But anyway, you've got your tiles, and that's what they're using to show what's going on. And it still looks like an interesting proposition. It's just, the problem is, it's just not going to get me to buy that phone.
And this is the bit I don't get about Microsoft. So, yes, they've unified design all around Metro. That they said they're not calling it Metro, they're calling it some crazy Windows 8 tile look or whatever it is. Maybe just make it up as they go along. And the reason I'm saying make it up as they go along, so they've just did that Xbox Music launch, a couple of weeks ago. And you can go into your Xbox now and it's there. And you can subscribe free for 30 days. And Windows Phone 8, yeah, Pandora's coming next year and we'll give you 1 year free of Pandora access. What?
Yeah, where's the tie-in? And it's things like they're doing, you can do the photo sharing now, so you can upload to your SkyDrive effectively, but it uploads a low-res version. And the only way to get back up the high-res versions is to use Zune software on your desktop. Which, now, Zune is dead. It's supposed to have been killed off ages ago. So,
I do think, I mean, this has been their most ambitious launch of so many products, and it's clear to me, even a company like Microsoft, they're getting spread thin, or they're getting lost in, you know, middle management.
I don't think it's necessarily the company is spread thin, because I think they've got the resources to do it. It's the lack of focus designed by a committee, a bit too many chiefs. But anyway, the fact is, it is a good platform. It's just not got too much behind it at the moment. That's the problem. And like I say, it's, for me, it's not, I couldn't justify buying a Windows 8 phone.
The only people I can see buying Windows 8 phones are if they get into the enterprise, you know, if RIM has screwed it up so badly, would people just say, well, Microsoft's the next route rather than going Android or going iOS?
I do know people that have got Windows phones, and they like them, but they're not, you know, they are the people that we don't, I guess we kind of overlook a bit. We're a bit in our little bubble, and it's not necessarily an informed choice. It's just because that's what they were offered and it was a good deal.
And the phones are decent.
But then again, they'd probably be happy.
And the phones are decent. I mean, we're sitting here, we're being critical. I mean, you're talking about reviews of, you know, maybe, you know, if you go and look at Verge scores and stuff, they're at 78 and 80%, and you know, iOS phones and Android phones are up at 90. They're still decent phones. It's not like you're buying a turkey. But software-wise, I just think, you know, Android and iOS are much the same. There's the app stores are full to bursting, and you've got whatever you want, you can get.
So my sister's a good analogy here. She's had a BlackBerry for ages and ages. And she sat along. She was happy with her BlackBerry, and what with what it did and how, you know, she could pick up her emails and she could go on Twitter, whatever. Picked up an iPhone 4S the other day. Absolutely loves it. Just total eye opener about the difference it feels to be an in, you know, an infrastructure with an ecosystem that's just alive. You know, she couldn't believe what you could do with a phone. So she was happy with her BlackBerry. Had she not, you know, had the iPhone, she'd still be happy with it. But now she would never go back. There you go. So she's not a techie person.
No, and my mom is a bit like that, to be honest. You know, this whole, you can get apps, you can get games. You know, you can, oh, I can get like my Scottish TV news and I can get weather and all sorts. It's just like continually, it's like an eye opener as to what's there for pennies.
And if you ever try and go back to another platform that doesn't have it, you can't do it. You just can't do it. And Android even struggles to keep up with all that. That's the problem.
And that's one aspect I'm really interested to see is that certainly Google said there's 700,000 apps in the Play Store now, but there still seems to be lots of comments about there is lots of apps, but it's kind of a bit empty for the kind of tablet device. So that will be an interesting comparison for me because obviously use this. I'm touching my iPad now. It's like my best friend, but I've used that for 2.5 years, you know, so app wise, very, very mature. You know, I'm used to using all the apps. I know what's there and what I need. So it'll be interesting to compare.
Yep. We are going long. We've gone long. Kickstarter. It's over in the UK, which I'm sure you're pretty happy about actually. Now I did have a question about this straight away, because pretty much what they've said is that they've released it in the UK. Great. The only thing that they've really changed is they put a pound sign in, which is probably quite handy for the UK site. I'm sure a consultant paid a lot of money, or charged a lot of money to do that change. I am interested. You signed up for 3, maybe 4 Kickstarters. Now, I know that one of them was the journalism one, and you linked to that. So I'm assuming that you did get your subscription and you're happy with that.
It starts on the 14th of November as a first article.
But they released that one as anyone can get that sort of to suck you in. You can get a trial version, shall we say.
Yeah. I'm actually looking forward to the... to seeing what that brings. And I mean, it's a punt, isn't it? And if I look at things like Instapaper and Pocket, and I do like my big long articles, you know, store them away and read them on planes and, you know, when I'm in bed and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, certainly Matter is delivering. They've kept everybody up to date. I got my free t-shirt.
Okay.
So I should put it on tonight.
I'm
really looking forward to what that brings. And there's been a couple other kind of digital ones that I've subscribed to.
Yeah.
And it's been all okay, but then there's Pebble.
So, right. Okay, this is it. So Matter was a good one, journalism. So Pebble, what is the situation with Pebble? They reached their money, didn't they?
They only wanted, I think, 250,000 and they got 8.9 million. You know, so well oversubscribed. And I think it's just the realization of going from, this is a test product and we want to get this out to market in the next sort of 4 or 5 months, to Luminec.
We're having to
mass market these devices and go through a lot of testing and develop the software for iOS and Android. And when you look at it all, for a small team, it's a big ask. So they were criticized fairly early on in that they weren't keeping people up to date. You know, if you look at all the promotional stuff that happened before, and when they started, it was like, yep, we'll keep you informed. And then it all kind of went quiet for like a month, 6 weeks. And it's like, hold on, you've got lots of people that have paid lots of money. You've taken the money. And for all we know, we're a year away. For all I know, I'm 2 years away. For all I know, I'm getting nothing. You know, and there's been a couple other things that have, you know, that people have paid for. And when they've eventually got them, I mean, there was the elevation dock. That was for the iPhone 4. It was this big solid bit of aluminium that you could lift in and out, and it all worked. People were getting that 1 week before the iPhone 5 came out with a lightning connector, and they paid for it 6 months previous.
So what is the latest on Pebble then? Do you know what's going on with it?
Yeah, they're still on track for next year. I think it was about sort of 2-3 months ago, they were quite open and honest about where they were, and, you know, here's all the testing we've done, and here's our test, you know, products we've got through. We've got all the components we've been putting all together.
It's going to exist.
Yeah, I think the last update said that everything was all in a shipping container off to China to be put together now.
Okay.
And I think the issue is going to be that other things have come along in the meantime. There was another one in Kickstarter that was actually a company went on Kickstarter, but they already had it up and running. It was really just, you know, almost like a...
To get the supply chain in place.
Yeah, we can we're here, we've done all the testing, you know, we're actually probably ahead, and people have got that device and they're loving it. And
they're the kind of ones that Dragon's Den love, aren't they? They've got everything's in place. They just they just need the funding to get the supply chain.
And I think there's now a risk of Pebble was such a success that I think it was also a bit of a tell to, you know, the Apples and the Googles of the world that people are interested in these wearable devices. You know, Fitbit's another one where it's it's got a kind of cult following that is enough that somebody's going to come along and just dominate. And I don't know what it'll be. I mean, Nike kind of have done it with the Fuel Band. It's kind of taken a lot of the Fitbit's thunder away. You know, a big kind of showy brand behind it. I still like the Fitbit.
Every day I hear on Twitter how someone just tweeted up that they lost their Fitbit and they keep getting sent new ones.
Yeah.
I wish I had done.
And it's funny because I've been reading the same over the last few days, and I thought even ones that were like, you know, I washed it. But thanks to Fitbit support, they sent me a new one.
Yeah, so now I'm thinking, well, do I just go and scrounge or not? I don't know what to do.
Well,
I'd feel guilty, but then I'd have a Fitbit again.
Yeah, the Fitbit One's out yesterday. So I'll probably be ending up buying a Fitbit One.
Anyway, so we got Kickstarter in the UK, and that's all looking fantastic because it's a great service, and it's actually, it shows that there's a bit of money kicking around if you try, in the tech community especially, for venture capital effectively.
And not that we play stereotypes on Digital Outbox, but out of the first 200 projects from British creators, one of the ones was about tea. So that said it all.
Excellent. ITV Player, they've basically allowed you to get rid of their adverts by paying a little fee, so 49p per episode, and you can then watch it without watching adverts. What I like about it is that it gives you a number to say, is it worth 49p for you to be exposed to those adverts? And I would say 49p, yes, I would watch the adverts. If that number comes down significantly, I would not watch the adverts.
And you can rent it, and it's 30 days access to it. And it's a small enough price that that's a DVD box set of decent quality, you know, programming.
Yeah, and if they've got the right series, it probably is worth it, because it is a pain in the ass when you have to wait through the adverts to get that. So, yeah, great. Give you the choice, and then they'll come to a price point where it actually works for them.
And it's not like they're forcing you to pay. You know,
That's it. So they've not said, okay, you have to pay now. And the only worry I have is that when they say you have to pay and then you have to put the adverts as well, that's when it gets annoying. And finally, Disney, they've bought Lucasfilm and announced Star Wars Episode 7. Lucas isn't going to be directing. Well, I think that's the half. That's probably a good thing. But the actual script might be up to nuts something now. But yeah, so wow, that's a big move. They've paid about $4 billion for it, just over $4 billion.
Yeah, 4 Instagrams.
Just amazing amount of money. But it does cover an awful lot of other. I mean, Lucasfilm Animation. They've got a lot of fingers in different pies. But
they have.
I guess George just cashed in his pension, basically.
He has, and he's got a lot of haters out there. Obviously, he's got a lot of lovers, you know, for what he's done with Star Wars and stuff. But there's a lot of people get really hacked off with the kind of cash-ins and the digital rewrites and hand-shooting, not shooting
incredibly
first anymore and all that kind of stuff.
Control on all his IP as well. Incredibly
horrible. And also the last three films, I mean, the prequels weren't the best. The first one being particularly poor, the second one... The third one, and the whole, I have the high ground, Anakin. And it's like, he's got all the force powers known to man. Yeah. Yeah. And there's all that. But to be fair to him, he's come out today and said he's going to, because he was 100% in control. So this was basically, he got $4 billion. And he said he's going to give most of it away.
Because he has no need for it. But if he does, that's amazing.
I would
say give it away to venture capitals and stuff like that. Get something going.
He wants to give it away. And he's still going to have input into Star Wars 7. The disappointing thing is, like they said, there's going to be another three films and then another one every 2 to 3 years after that as well.
Right.
And you're like, oh, I don't know. It's all a bit squiffy. You know, it's like...
Yeah, it kind of dilutes because the first three, or the medium three, I don't know, they were, you know, they're what that's made this much money going forward. It's amazing what you squeeze out of that, isn't it? Games, we just quickly touch on the fact that next week we're going to be bonkers excited about Halo 4.
So it's had great reviews, so I'm looking forward to that.
We touched on Need for Speed last week, so that's out, but the chances of us picking it up are relatively slim.
So I think our little community are all on Forza at the moment. Forza is a damn fine game.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, so we should just touch on that and say it's, I don't know, I mean, the main story mode's not long enough to keep, you know, to make you bored of it, really. It's just about keeps you going. It feels a little bit samey after a while because you are doing effectively the same things over and over again, but the environment is enough to keep you going and the online is quite fun.
Yeah, and I think, as I kind of touched on maybe when we were gaming, or maybe I mentioned it last week, but Need for Speed, it is from the guys who did Burnout Paradise, and everybody kind of nodded their hat and said, this is like, you know, Burnout Paradise 2, and the online element is like a piece de resistance. It is fantastic, seemingly.
The Burnout, I even mentioned the other day when we were playing online, the Burnout Paradise co-op challenges were far, far superior to the Horizon
night and day
ones. You know, because it was ridiculous what they got you to do, and it was really well executed. So looking forward to maybe having some more of that.
And for me, as I said, for me, that's now tucked away at Christmas. That'll be when I pick that one up.
That's fair enough. It's probably a good Christmas game.
Yeah.
And finally, GTA 5. So the release date is going to be next spring. I don't know. Are we delayed on that? I don't know whether that's a delay or whether that's just an announcement. That's what they're aiming
They've
for.
They've done an announcement, and also because Take-Two did their earnings, I've said it's not this fiscal year, which means it's definitely not March. So it's going to be April, May, June.
Right. And I mean, whatever, as long as they don't run out of money before then, bankrupt, all those things, it's exactly going to be another epic game. We love GTA games.
And it'll be an absolute cash cow for them as well.
Well, it's a tour. Every single game they've released so far has been a tour de force, and it's an amazing game.
Yep.
So fingers crossed that they can keep that going, because I'm really looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
I've got no picks. It doesn't look like you do this week, or do you have a stealth
pick? No, I don't, because I kind of thought we'd go along because there was a lot to cover.
We're
well
long.
Yeah, and it's a lot longer than I thought, and I think that's because we had a bit of a Google loving tonight.
They deserved a bit of a loving, didn't they?
It's my fault.
Nah, it was good.
Hang my head in shame.
No, we love the Google. So let's call it a day then. And if you want to find out more about us, you can digitaloutbox.com, and you can email us. You can talk to us, promise. See what I mean? I need more coffee, I think. Right, email us, info@digitaloutbox.com, Twitter and Skype, Digital Outbox. Find out about my racing, you can academyracer.co.uk. And Ian, where can we find you?
Stay on target. We blog is ind.net and Twitter is Sweeper. And that'll do. App.net, Ian Dick. There we go.
Love the app.net.
Love the app.net.
Speak to you next week. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. We went long.
We made it.
Looks like we made it.
Oh dear.
I'll definitely cut that.
Oh, right. Tesco.